Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A recent article stated that transgender ideology has infiltrated the field of pediatrics and has produced large-scale child abuse. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this article, and our special guest today is Dr. Michelle Cretella. She is a pediatrician, and she is the president of the American College of Pediatricians. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Dr. Cretella.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here this morning.
You wrote an article in the Daily Signal, and it says, "I'm a practicing pediatrician, how transgender ideology has infiltrated my field and produced large-scale child abuse." What is the essence of your article for those who have not had a chance to read it?
Well, essentially, the bottom line is this. Prior to 2013, virtually every physician and therapist was in agreement that a child who did not believe they were their biological sex had a thought disorder that was being triggered by an underlying psychological process, and that they should be referred to therapy and basically affirmed, helped to understand and embrace their biological sex. After 2013, now it has completely flip-flopped. We are to treat that child as though their confusion is normal, and we are to cooperate with this confusion and fantasy to the point of putting them on dangerous puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones.
And 2013 is the dividing line, because prior to that, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual that has the categorization and general parameters of certain psychological, psychiatric conditions stated that there was gender identity disorder, GID, which is a mental disorder. And then in 2013, it was changed to gender dysphoria. And that's the before and after dividing line?
Correct, yes. And what happened with that change, every physician and therapist is now being told that the disorder has nothing to do with the discrepancy between thoughts and the physical body. The disorder is that the child is emotionally distressed. We're treating just the emotional distress, and we're going to treat that distress by actually facilitating, cooperating with the fantasy and confusion.
And in 2014, there were about, 24 what they call gender clinics clustered along the East Coast and in California. One year
Correct.
Later, there's 40 across the nation. So there's been an explosion of these clinics.
An explosion of the clinics, and now there are 215 pediatric residency programs throughout the nation. These are hospital systems and medical schools, 215 of them, that train future pediatricians. And they are all basically promoting this protocol of when you have a young child, even as young as age 2 or 3, claiming they're the opposite sex, you must affirm them socially as the opposite sex and stay with them until they come right to, you know, before puberty, block their puberty so that they do not become anxious over their physical changes, and then be prepared to put them on sex change hormones by age 16 the latest.
Wow, so very early, young age, and then they're getting these medications that block the hormones, whether it's estrogen or testosterone, so it delays the onset of puberty, if you will, or the physical manifestation of it.
But it's even worse than that, because the guidelines say that the child should be put on puberty blockers as early as age 12. Now, we know from professional associations and communications, these are even found online, children as young as age 9 to 12 are being put on the blockers. These blockers don't just block breast development and genital development. Puberty is not a disease. It's blocking the entire natural process. It is blocking brain development, bone development, and there's no long-term studies on this. So we are causing damage that hasn't even been fully defined.
Don't even have any idea what the long-term implications of this is when these young children grow up to be adults.
Correct. Puberty blockers do have a role, for example, in treating prostate cancer in men treated with Lupron, which is one of the major puberty blockers. When it's used to treat prostate cancer, which is, you know, at a serious stage, it seems to cause memory problems in the men. And here we are giving this to physically normal children between the ages of 9 and 12. Before this protocol was in place, if children, young children, were simply allowed to sort of this watch and wait, have families not reinforce their confusion, but basically just affirm them, assure them that they are loved and beautiful as the biological sex they are, so watch and wait, or went into family therapy, up to 95% of these gender-confused children would identify with their biological sex by late adolescence or young adulthood. The key was supporting them in their biological sex through puberty. We're impacting their brain development.
You know, what we also have seen in the research is that if you have someone who is gender confused, if they think that they want to be identifying as a girl and they're a boy, those feelings, by and large, dissipate naturally without any intervention for the most part.
Right.
So if you're intervening into that child's life when it would naturally have a cycle of dissipating, and then you're doing the puberty blockers, and then you're affirming them from the exterior position of the culture, and then you put them into a surgical scenario later in life, it is very damaging.
Yeah, we are essentially leading them into a transgender identity. A couple things are very important to understand, which I go into in the article, is that, number one, no one is born, quote-unquote, transgender. No one is born hardwired to develop a gender identity disorder. And twin studies prove this. If we were hardwired before birth, either from DNA or prenatal hormones, then identical twins would always have the same gender identity. This doesn't happen.
So if you have identical twins, they're both going to have blonde hair, they're both going to have blue eyes, or whatever.
Blue eyes, they're both going to be boys, they're both going to be girls.
Right.
Any trait that is determined by DNA or solely determined by prenatal hormones will be the same in your identical twins, because identical twins have... they are conceived with exactly the same DNA, and they are exposed to exactly the same prenatal hormones.
So what you have here in this study that you mentioned, the largest study of twins, transgender adults, published in 2013, 72%, if one was identifying as the opposite sex, the other one did not. So it's 72% of the time they did not. Only 28% of the time did identical twins both want to be transgender. Which suggests that it's not DNA or biology, but it's cultural. It's something in the surrounding.
Right. That now everything about us, I mean, it is what the other side says, oh, but look, you know, more identical twins are transgender than the general population. Okay. And they get all excited about that and say, oh, look, this proves it's genetic. No, it does not prove that it's predominantly genetic or predominantly biology. We're made out of DNA. We all have hormones. Everything about us is influenced by DNA and hormones. Very few things are hardwired. And the fact that 72% of transgendered identical twins differed proves that biology is much less important. It proves that post-birth social interactions, family dynamics are more important. And that's good news for both the children involved and for society as a whole. That is good news, because there are so many mental illnesses and physical illnesses associated with the transgender lifestyle that we can treat this. We can help people have healthy, fulfilling lives, because we know that family dynamics and socialization is the bigger factor contributing.
There's so much that we can talk about. Give us a quick website where we can direct people to.
Sure. Bestforchildren.org.
Bestforchildren.org.
And look for our gender identity page.
Our guest has been Dr. Michelle Cretella. I'm Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, for additional information.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.